This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
What a weird day. All right, it's 8 o'clock. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Good morning. Hope everybody's enjoying their Wednesday. We got a little roundtable in an hour. We haven't even really told people about that.
No, we haven't.
Roundtable coming up in an hour. Bob Stelton will be here. Jake Heaps will be here. We'll be talking Seahawks in sort of a roundtable fashion with those guys. I hope you're looking forward to that.
Maybe Doug, maybe Marshawn.
You think those names will come up?
Probably.
All right. I think it's definitely
Does the name Buddy Rich come up ever in your life?
It should.
Oh, should it? Okay. Does that
ring a bell, Mike?
Did Buddy Rich have a drum solo?
One of the top two drummers of all time.
Did he ever have a drum solo, Mike?
Jazz, sure. Huh. Yes.
Mike is wrong on this, Brock. Stand by it, okay? There are drum solos within songs, short and long. Exhibit A is Moby Dick by Led Zeppelin. How about that one?
There are some examples. They are rare.
Salk is flat out wrong.
And Phil Collins' drum fill in In the Air Tonight does not qualify.
Fine, that may just be a fill.
Have you seen the video, by the way, of the deer stumbling through that song?
Yep.
Pretty funny.
What you got here?
You type in Bobby Rich, Buddy Rich. The first suggestion is insane drums.
Buddy Rich is insane. Have you ever watched any Buddy Rich?
I am now. I'm watching 6.5 minutes.
Hold on. I watched Buddy Rich. There's some video of him out there where he is just playing a snare drum with his left hand. He's just doing like a drum roll on the snare with one hand, and his other three limbs are soloing around it. It's so awesome. That guy is.
A drum
really
solo
incredible.
With no other and nothing around it. This is I don't know how long if we could go 6.5 minutes.
It's a drum solo.
Yeah, but for 6.5 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Neil's usually 7-8 minutes in
Hey, hold on a second.
And it's the highlight of the show.
We want to get
just because you guys don't like rock music doesn't mean anything. Come on.
We want to get some people on the horn here.
All right.
Okay, I'm gonna allow you to do that.
I don't even know if I want to.
Oh, you don't want to?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I've got a question for you. Which is better?
All right.
One show. So you get one concert.
One concert.
One show.
Okay.
And you get to pick your all-time team. And when it comes to drummer, you get?
Neil Peart.
Period?
Yeah.
End of story?
Yes. Head for me, yes.
Not
for
even,
me,
not even a contest?
Guy's my favorite of all time. That's not a contest for me.
All right.
That's not to say.
Neil Peart live from Frankfurt.
So
Neil's awesome.
Are Buddy Rich and Neil clearly gold and silver gold?
I think a lot of people, not everyone would agree with that, of course.
Is Bob going to say that in an hour?
I think if you were to say to Bob, are Buddy Rich and Neil Peart the two best drummers of all time, he'll say they're certainly on the list.
Right.
They're both pretty awesome.
Ringo?
Ringo's probably third.
Okay.
Yeah, Ringo and Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones, three and four, on that list. All right. Do we want to get people on the phone? I don't know. Yesterday was so weird. Yesterday, we tried to get you guys on the phone, and people are calling up saying Charlie Batch is their favorite quarterback of all time. So, I don't know whether it's safe to go back to the phones. The top five list may get thrown in the trash after yesterday. I don't know what we're going to do. We had an idea that maybe we would ask you guys whether or not your expectation level has changed for the Seahawks. Mm. But I don't even know whether I feel safe doing that now. My whole world feels upside down.
I feel like there's a little more meat on this Doug and Marshawn bone.
You want to just talk that for a few minutes?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I love the callers, and they're certainly, we could line them up, and maybe some expectations have or haven't changed.
All right, so let's ask about this, because this is driving me crazy, and you guys can call on any of these things, Seahawks-related, 206-421-3776. We will have some open phone lines here on the Hawks for the next 15 minutes. So if you want to talk about the team in general, if you want to talk about the revamped run game, if you want to talk about Marshawn Lynch, or if you want to talk about this Doug Baldwin thing, because I got to say, there are things about Doug that just stick in my craw, and they are all, for the most part, based on his problems with Russell that I just don't truly understand.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he gives Russell as much grief as he does, all the while praising other people in ways that really just kind of make you scratch your head. And in this case, it is stemming from Brady Henderson's report yesterday in a tweet from Brady, our buddy, who says Doug Baldwin, talking about how Marshawn Lynch was universally beloved in Seattle's locker room, told a story about a young wide receiver who told Lynch he liked his backpack. Lynch took it off, emptied it out, and gave it to him on the spot. Asked which wide receiver it was, Baldwin said, it was him. First of all, I love Brady's delivery. Great story there, Brady.
Yep.
But I just, I know Marshawn was universally beloved. But I love Marshawn. I do. As a fan, there's been no one more fun to watch in a Seahawks uniform. There have been a few guys as fun, but there's been no one more fun to watch than Marshawn Lynch when he's knocking people over, Beastquake, and taking on linebackers and driving them into the ground and making guys quit. Yep. No one's been more fun to watch than Marshawn Lynch. But there's another side to him also, right? There's the other side of Marshawn that, according to Pete Carroll, got a little fat while he was here.
I gave him a hard time a couple years ago when he first came back that he had gotten back into such great shape. And, you know, why would, you know, how come we didn't see that, you know? He was in great condition. He was trim and fast.
Yeah, boy, that would have been nice when we were trying to keep winning Super Bowls around here. If only Marshawn had kept his weight under control while he was here instead of waiting till he went to Oakland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand being a little mad about that if I'm Pete Carroll, but not Doug. Not if I'm one of his team. For whatever reason, the teammates don't mind that. But Russell Wilson doesn't act the way you want him to every second of the day. Mm-hmm. Oh, Russell's too fake. He's too phony. This guy gave you a backpack. And for that, he's a world-renowned leader. Russell Wilson takes the team to Hawaii on a private jet. And you're like, that's kind of phony. Yep. Really? Like, they're both acting like who they are. Yep. I'm sorry Russell isn't the guy you want him to be. I'm sorry he's not cool like Marshawn. I'm sorry he's not anti-establishment like Marshawn. I'm sorry he doesn't treat people differently. And okay, I'm sorry about that. He's not Marshawn Lynch, Doug, and everybody else. Yep. Doug, Richard, and everybody else who wants to talk about Russell and write these articles behind his back and give all the sourced or unsourced quotes. Yeah, you're right. Congratulations. You've proved that Russell Wilson is not like Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, you know what, Russell?
You want some sort of medal?
You know what Russell would have never done, Doug? If you're listening right now, as they're getting ready to head to London later tonight. You know what Doug, Doug, you know what Russell would have never done to you? Not got on the bus. He gets on the bus with a torn up knee and an ankle and everything. He gets on the bus, man, and he just posts. He just posts and posts and posts and posts. And you focus, again, I think, on a lot of things that he is not. But the things that Marshawn was, for some reason, you celebrate. You know, I went on a little rant with you, a week ago or so about these kind of individuals and these players and, you know, thinking that you're just bigger than everybody else. And I told you there's a line 100 deep behind you. You know what? It's pretty easy, actually, to be a great teammate. I think it is. I was around a lot of great teammates. They were great with teammates, you know, with one another and fun to be around. Man, that guy was the life of the party. Golly, he was hilarious, and he was so much fun. A lot of great teammates. Most all of my teammates were great teammates. Mm-hmm. But how are you with actually your bosses? How are you with people that, yeah, have a little authority over you and are going to ask things of you to buy in even when it's hard? Like, I think it's pretty darn easy. You got to be pretty creepy to be a bad teammate. You got to be pretty much a bad human being and pretty much a creep if you're a bad teammate, in my opinion. I can't, on one hand, list the number of bad teammates I ever played with to peers, like peers to peer. But as far as being a great football player and in this league, it's about more than that, especially when you're a star. It's still about, you know, doing, I think, the best for everybody, including your coaches, including your organization. And those are the ones that thrive and survive for years and years and years.
It's such a strange thing. And yeah, I think I understand some of the reasons it happens. I understand that Marshawn's cool and Russell's not. I understand that Marshawn is authentic, beast mode, Oakland, all of that. And Russell Wilson's tapping the glass in his video. But I'm surprised that you can't celebrate the things that he is. And I'm surprised that you, after all these years, and not just Doug, but any of his teammates, I'm surprised that anybody gets bothered by the things that he's that.
And
that
I'm
he's
sure
not.
Doug would say, you know, so what, weird. You know what? So many of us love about Marshawn, it was never out there. Right? And I've heard this a bunch, and he's probably right. And I've heard from a lot of peers around Marshawn that they just love the fact that he didn't celebrate. It wasn't, look what I'm doing out in the community. He just did it. He just gave money. He just showed up at the Special Olympics event. He just does some of those things, and that's the way that he was comfortable because he didn't like some of that limelight. The fact that Russell does all of that. And some of it's posted, should that diminish that he's there every Tuesday for 7 years pouring into the lives and changing lives of people or the millions of dollars that he's given as well? Should that change it because it's more visible? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I can appreciate some of that, though. I'm not all the way on Wassel's bandwagon on the J.J. Watt's a jerk bandwagon. I don't think so. J.J. Watt went out and raised a tremendous amount of money. But yeah, the look at me thing always sort of, you know, gives me pause. Whether it's him or Deshaun Watson a few years ago or Russell with his stuff at Children's Hospital. Yeah, there's a look at me element where I'm always like, I'd be kind of better off if you didn't do that. But the way they have like polarized these two figures is so strange. It doesn't seem right when all
but
of
when
the,
it is there week after week, year after year, season after season.
The commitment at some point has to mean something to you, right?
I would think.
And meanwhile, playing through injury and running out to block people and leading the like, sheesh. Yep. I'm sorry that he's not. I'm sorry he's not authentic Oakland.
Sorry he's not anti-authority.
He also isn't born in authentic Oakland. That's not who he is. No kidding. The 206-421-3776.
Why did this get us all
at least one guy
up?
Gave you a backpack.
We Jeez. Have calls on five different topics.
We do.
Oh, awesome.
Should we
we've
buzz
got
through?
Drummers. We've got Marshawn. We've Great. Got expectations.
Okay. All right. Let's grab. We'll grab a
we
Marshawn.
We have Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. I'd like to talk about Marshawn, please.
Trey is in Kirkland. Trey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Hey, and you just touched on it just now. Like you guys have been this whole time. Yes, Russell's been here. You guys have been clowning him the whole time.
We have?
Yeah, you guys have been clowning him the whole time about how golly shucks he is.
He is like that, but it doesn't mean that I like, you know, don't like him or don't want him to be my quarterback or go behind his back or call SI and ESPN to write articles about what a jerk he is and everything else. Yeah, we talk about it. But geez.
If you don't think somebody is like authentic, is, like you said, authentic, mm-hmm. then it's not really like you're going behind their back. You know what I mean? Like, you go behind when you don't really feel like you're doing that.
Well, I think when the quotes to both articles are all anonymous, but everyone knows where they come from, I would say you're going behind their back.
Why don't
you put your name
know,
on
man.
It?
It's Russell Wilson. Like, he's a great player. We love him. He's tough. He's not a punk.
Trey, when you called into this show, what did you say? When Kyle picked up the phone, he said, "Hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from?" What did you say?
I said, "This is Trey from Kirkland."
How come you didn't say, "I'd rather remain anonymous"?
Because
I'm you're willing to put your name on it.
I'm Seattle.
You put your name out your mouth.
Because you're willing to put your name on it.
Yep.
And I feel like I'm authentic, and I'm from Seattle, and Seattle's a cream puff city. I've been here all my life.
All right,
I think,
Trey.
We love Russell, but like, you know, it's okay to love Marshawn.
I'm not saying it's not. Of
Absolutely.
Course it's okay to love Marshawn, Trey. This isn't about it's not about not liking Marshawn. It's about just recognizing some of the ups and downs of both. And it surprises me constantly that Russell gets this bad rap and Marshawn is held up as a god mm-hmm. when they both have. I mean, that's not that anything there is specifically untrue. It's just that it neither tells the whole story of who they are. Yep. It's picked and chosen. And I think that's what upsets
me. It's just celebrating individual or celebrate team. You know, and I think a lot of those players just celebrate the individuality of Marshawn and just took for better or worse. Yeah, and his worse even when not showing up.
That's
not
a good
showing
call,
up
though.
For work.
I like that phone call. 206-421-3776. Grab Taylor, who's in Tacoma. What's up, Taylor?
What's going on, Mike?
And Brock, what's up, dude?
Oh, what's going on, Brock? I just wanted to call in and say hi. I just want to let you know that, you know, people want to have their favorite quarterback be Charlie Batch. I think that's a legendary quarterback, so it's a good idea to do that.
All right, thanks for the phone call, Taylor. I appreciate it. That is a good idea. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Back-to-back days, Taylor showing up.
Yeah, well, Charlie Batch is a force to be reckoned with. Let's grab Katie's in Spokane. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Katie, this has been kind of a weird show, so let's see what we got here.
I was wondering what your thoughts were on, because I know in the off season there was an article and kind of a negative article on Russ, and mm-hmm. he actually responded to it.
Yep.
Which he's never really responded to anything negative,
Agreed.
You know,
yep.
press wise before. So how do you think that played into the beginning of the season and also in, you know, the bounce back the last few weeks?
That's a really good question.
Great question
yep.
from Spokane. We're driving by Salk Middle School out there.
Wave, my spot.
Wave to the school for
Go
Salk
take a
if,
picture.
You, if you get a chance.
Go take a picture at the great Salk Middle School. Big sign out there.
Tweet us. We'll
Absolutely.
Retweet it. Did it play into the first couple weeks? Did it affect Russell the first couple
I think
weeks?
It did.
I think there's a little human element to it,
I think it did, especially in Denver. And we talked to Jake about it. Remember, look, Jake's close to Russ, and he'll be here at 9 o'clock. We can ask him, Jake Heaps. But he said, yeah, how could it not?
Mm-hmm. Well, and as far as why did he finally respond after 7 years, Katie, I think he finally just had enough. I just kind of had enough of all of this. You know, and it gets to a point that I can still respond in a classy manner. I still know the address to the high road, and I'm going to take it there. But I think he finally just had enough of all of this chirping and all this talking. And basically every but one of those voices has been weeded out of the locker room, except for, I think, a Doug that still very much challenges him and very much challenges the, you know, the way he goes about being authentic or the lack thereof, I bet, in his opinion.
Let's grab Cameron, who's in Seattle. Good morning, Cameron.
Hey, guys. Hey, I really think a lot of what Russell Wilson is going through is similar to what Jimmy Fallon has been going through the last 2 years, which he's just, he's not doing anything wrong, and he's doing a really good job, but he's so apolitical, and he's not making any decisions on anything that's important to his teammates, that they view that as somewhat wrong, and they view that as a decision in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Not making a decision and not coming out and being political is a decision, and I think, finally, I think some of his teammates are starting to get a little upset with it, with everything that's been going on the last
See, it's funny. Years. It's interesting you say, it's a really good comparison, but the difference is, it's one thing for Fallon's viewers to criticize him. Generally, the other people writing for Fallon's show aren't the ones sniping on him behind the back. If they really didn't want to do that, they would, you know, go somewhere else and work for Kimmel. Like, if what they really want to do is political commentary, go work for Steve Carell and forget about being with Jimmy Fallon. Fallon doesn't want to do that stuff.
Well, that's not an option when you're under contract.
Isn't that what Marshawn did?
Understood, but how many contracts have these guys signed? They had plenty of opportunities if they wanted to go somewhere else. I mean, they decided.
So if they don't want to play with Russ, they can walk.
They could have during contract years. I understand it's not quite as easy as it might be. It's not exact the comparison. But
the Seahawks haven't made anybody choose that, though.
Nope.
They've never once made people choose that.
And I would say this too, Cameron, that around the league, and you know, I got to be careful with culture stuff because sometimes I'm a little off, like drum solos. I get that. Not very well-rounded. But if other comedians are doing it, you know what other quarterbacks are not doing? Being political. Aaron Rodgers is not being political. I don't hear Drew Brees making his case. I know Tom Brady was linked with the president in some ways, but he distanced himself, right? Whereas I think of Jimmy Fallon and his world, all those comedians are doing it. Give me another quarterback. Big Ben being political? Drew Brees being political? Was Peyton Manning political? Were any of those quarterbacks political? Any of them? Who is an activist quarterback out there?
They generally don't happen. Nope, that's just not happening. But look, I mean, look, there. I can see some of the other side of this, which is at some point, Russ, you've got to find a way to connect to as many of your teammates as possible and try and bring them into the fold. On the other hand, I just don't understand the sniping, and the comparison to Marshawn always kind of gets me. All right, real quick, it's 8:16, so we're a couple minutes late on this. Let's give away this tickets to go see Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, of course, as they battle the Chargers at home. The winner of our contest is Jeff Owens. Jeff, you are the winner. You've got 5 minutes, so we'll give you till 8:22 to call 206-421-3776. Jeff Owens is the winner at 206.
He won by downloading the app, by the way, the 710 Sports app.
Way to go.
Driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Why wouldn't he?
Is that Gabe's brother, do we know? I know a Gabe Owens. Is that Gabe's brother?
I don't know Gabe.
I don't know. I'll find out if he calls.
All right, 206-421-3776. There you go. Jeff, which Owens is it? Jeff Owens?
It's Jeff.
Jeff. It's Jeff Owens. You've won the tickets. You have until 8:22 to call in.
Hey, by the way, I can imagine like Bob coming in here if he happens to be listening right now on his motorcycle and his drive-in on a beautiful day, and he's like, where are you guys getting this? Like, why did you turn this into a Doug, Russ, you know? I could picture some of our peers in this building like, why are you running crazy? Did Doug say anything bad about Russell?
Today?
Yeah.
No. Not that I know of,
all
not
he did
today.
All he did was praise Marshawn for giving him a backpack.
I know, but it's just the whole thing. It's just...
What?
What? A backpack. This guy gave me the backpack off his back.
Well, he was revered by everybody. And you know what, Doug?
And he was.
Yeah, I bet he was. And I'll say it again. On one hand, I'm trying to honestly think of the bad teammates I played with. How many guys can I say peer-to-peer was a bad... Man, that was a bad teammate. There aren't many. Those guys usually get weeded out in college. You know, it's really hard to be like a bad, total diva, selfish, bad player to player, teammate to teammate. It's hard to do. There's you know, another element to that, though. When, you know, you are such a force in this community, such a force for this team, and to be as anti-authority and to gain weight and to not show up and to not practice and to not get on the bus and to not do any of those things.
Yeah, Marshawn is complicated. He's not simple. He's not
Washington
all good. He's not all good. He's not all bad.
Yep.
Marshawn is not a simple figure where you can just put him in one category or the other. And I understand today is a time to sort of celebrate. I don't think Doug's like doing anything wrong by by celebrating what a great teammate Marshawn was. But you got to tell the whole story. Yes, he was a great teammate. He gave you his Beast Mode backpack off his back. Has a laptop sleeve and everything. You can slide a laptop right in. $39.99 on sale right now at the Beast Mode store. You know where to go. BeastModeOnline.com. BeastModeOnline.com. That's BeastModeOnline.com. So, yeah, all right, like, cool, he did do that, and that's part of the story of him. The other part is Pete Carroll saying, yeah, Marshawn looks great right now. Where was that when he was here?
I gave him a hard time a couple years ago when he first came back that he had gotten back into such great shape. And, you know, why would, you know, how come we didn't see that, you know? He was in great condition. He was trim and fast and all that.
How about Salk on Monday asking Coach about Beast Mode? You excited to see Marshawn? You got a triple yeah on that one.
He was sort of excited.
Well, is it okay that I'm really excited to watch the Seahawks against Marshawn Lynch on Sunday? Like, I'm really excited about
it. Yeah.
Have you guys thought at all about that?
Well, it's kind of natural, you know? Yeah.
He Thomasulid us. It's amazing. He completely Thomasulid us.
Thomasulid?
Maybe.
You and me talking. Just give me a name that you think would be good as an offensive coordinator. What if I throw a name out there? Mark Trussman. It's someone you might know, right? That's maybe the best you can give me.
Yeah.
Who hired Jim Thomasulid to be their head coach?
How many last names do you have to have before you realize he's not going to be a good coach?
Jim Thomasulid couldn't possibly be a head coach in the NFL. Any more than Justin Herbert is going to be a great quarterback.
Or Jim Bob Cooter.
He's a Western PA Clayton guy, Thomasulid.
Why can't he speak? All right, no signs so far, Jeff Owens.
Come on, Jeff.
He's got one more minute to call, and then we're going to come up with another name. 206-421-3776. Grab Pete, who's in Sumner. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. We wouldn't be having this conversation at all if he changes that call in the huddle at the Super Bowl. He has to change that call, not only to endear himself to his teammates. In the postgame, as Marshawn gets stoned at the goal line, in the postgame, he could just say, that was the play that was called in to make Pete look good.
It's the wrong. I'll tell you why, because it's the wrong move to run the ball on 2nd-and-1.
Well,
it's the wrong move. It's the wrong move to run the ball. That's why, because it's the wrong move to run on 2nd-and-1.
Hey.
You only have one timeout. It's the wrong move to run. I know it's cute and everybody says run the ball, give it to Marshawn. It's the wrong move. How's that? Because it's the wrong way to handle
the
clock.
How's that, Sparty? How's that down there in Sumner, huh?
That is what has changed this entire dynamic of this team. You know that's true.
I understand that the fact that the pick was thrown and all that changed. Then why don't they all hate Jermaine Kearse for not blocking the way he was supposed to on the play? Why don't they all hate Ricardo Lockett for getting destroyed by Malcolm Butler? Why don't they all hate Daryl Bevel? Well, they do. All right, that one's fair. Russell, you're mad at Russell for not changing the call to the wrong call? Think about how silly that is.
Well, obviously, it's always hindsight is 2020, but everybody believes that that ball should have been ran. I know that the
but they're wrong. But they're wrong. They're wrong on 2nd down. We can talk about this until the cows come home.
I can't do this.
But if that's truly what it's about, they're wrong. You should not run the ball on 2nd-and-1 with one timeout in that spot. We can go over this for the millionth time.
If it doesn't work,
you're in trouble.
But let me tell you, 4 decades from now, when my brain is just, you know, a total mess, probably
four
full of CTE and everything else, I'm going to be laying on my bed going, for those loonies that still think that Pete purposefully did not want to give Marshawn the MVP, there's folks in that locker room, not to that caller, but there's folks that really believe in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll said, Marshawn can't be the MVP. We've got to throw it here.
It's so ridiculous. The MVP had already been voted on.
But players somehow still, even guys there, still somehow believe that.
It's just bizarre. And by the way, you don't run the ball on 2nd-and-1 there.
No.
You run it on 3rd down, but on 2nd down, you throw it. Now, you don't throw a slant over the middle with Ricardo Lockett. With Jermaine Kearse
getting destroyed by Brandon Browner. Did Jeff Owens call?
Yeah, he did.
Jeff Owens, call.
We got Jeff. Jeff's just in the nick of time.
5 for 5!
Jeff was in the nick of time, so good luck and enjoy the game to him. All right, What do we got? We got our round table coming up in a half hour with Jake Heaps and Bob Stelton. We'll be talking Seahawks, all things, all issues and Jim Tomsula with a little luck. Yeah. Right after Washington Wednesday, which is next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
You ever think about being a voiceover guy?
All the time, every day.
Brock and Salk here, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness this hour. Jim Cutler's the name of the guy who does all our voiceover work, like you just heard. He's does it for like a million stations in the country. How many different ways do you think that guy can say this? The word this.
Mm.
This. This.
You know who'd be a great voice guy? Is Stelton.
Think so?
Oh, I know so.
Yeah, Bob's got a great voice.
Great voice.
Yeah, and he reads well. Bob's like a really good reader.
He is.
He reads out loud. I mean, you say that about me, but Bob is a champ.
Should we have a read-off at 9:30?
No, I'll lose that thing. No, I would not even mess with Bob. Is such a good reader.
We'll throw in some Hebrew. Throw in some different stuff. See if he can
see
be on
that
the fly.
Way. It's fair for Howdy.
Yes,
that would even the playing field.
That would. All right. Speaking of an even playing field, what's it going to be like down in Eugene? Well, it's Washington Wednesday. Let's find out.
Wednesdays every Wednesday throughout the college football season.
This is a fun one for me, because if I wasn't doing the game and I had some hopes that maybe our crew could get this game 12:30, it's kind of in our window of opportunity at times with broadcasts, and we didn't get it. And if you were to say, well, okay, if you guys aren't doing it, who do you want to do the game? I would want this crew doing it. I want Tom Blockledge and Holly Rowe and Sean McDonough on the call. I would want them to really to broadcast the game and to feature it. So I reached out to Todd a little bit yesterday for this Washington Wednesday, because I know he's done his homework. And he started to watch the tape and started to evaluate things. And we're going back and forth a little bit. And he's like, man, they're having a tough time getting to the quarterback. You know, you watch that UCLA game in the second half, and they just could not impact the pocket and impact the quarterback and the challenge that that then presents to your defense. And then you look at Browning and Herbert. And I know that this will be a storyline for them throughout their game. As here's Jake Browning, four-year starter. Owns every record in the Washington record book, including winning, the most important. No one's won more games than Jake in their tenure. It's going to be awfully hard for anybody that follows Jake. You better be a four-year starter, or he may sit atop that record book is the greatest winner in the number of wins in Husky history for a long, long, long time. And to compare and contrast those two, and here's Justin Herbert, 6'6", 240, 250 pounds, good athlete. You know, really strong, has really grown and developed his body from his freshman year to sitting here his junior year. And then there's Jake Browning, who may have hit his ceiling his sophomore year. I mean, realistically, and we can have some of this conversation with Jake Heaps when they sit in for the roundtable at 9:30, but I think realistically, look at, you know, just his game, his body, his arm strength, he may have absolutely hit his ceiling his sophomore year of college.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything since then, really.
Well, you know, we've seen, I would agree. And we've seen a lot of production. We've seen a lot of what we talked about with Russell Wilson.
I guess we haven't really seen any improvement.
Yeah, you haven't seen the body just change, right? He's not 215 pounds. He's not just morphed and changed. You don't see the rocket arm that's just, you know, throwing lace. Because I think that that's just who he is. I think that those are just the goods that he's been given. And like you heard Drew Brees say on, you know, Monday Night Football, like if you just believe and maximize everything. Don't let others tell you what you can't do. Jake does not let anybody tell him what he can't do. And because of it, well, he takes a lot more limited of a skill set than Justin Herbert physically. I mean, it's not even close. A lot more limited of a skill set than Drew Brees athletically. It's not even close. And all he does is go out there and post every single game. And here's what's fascinating. This was brought to my attention yesterday on both a national radio call and then a local article that'll be coming out, is that finger point. I didn't even thought about it. You guys thought about that finger point since it happened 2 years ago? Do you remember when he ran the little option play in Eugene into the stadium, and while he was going into the end zone, he pointed, he taunted back?
I actually do.
You do now?
It's weird.
You didn't 2 seconds ago.
Well, when you described it and right. did it. Like, oh, yeah, on the one that he – I remember running the ball into the end zone. So, I kind of remember that.
Oh, yeah.
People are mad about that?
Well, guess what? Down in Eugene?
They beat him for the first time in like 90 years.
It was 12 years.
They were mad about it?
It was 12 years.
Grow up.
It was 12 years, and it wasn't just – beating them, it was really putting 77 on the board.
Well, they were trying to erase 12 years
yes,
of
ghosts. And that was a little bit of the icing on the cake. But all let right. me tell you, the folks in Eugene are going to have that everywhere. The folks in Eugene have talked about that all week. The players in Eugene, they remember that moment.
Did they remember it last year when they got lost again?
No, because the quarterback was out. It was Willie Taggart's 1 year. Oh, it was, okay. You know,
that didn't count.
And it was, and it was up in Seattle.
Got it.
Where they're having a rough year. They weren't in the top 20, Mike. They didn't have an NFL quarterback. They didn't have some of the hype and attention going. They aren't in the position they sit in now where, you know, they win this game. Holy cow, you may be in the driver's seat in the Pac-12. And by the way, you can very much, if you're an Oregon fan, look at that game against Stanford and say, we blew it. I mean, we absolutely blew it. Should have been up 4 touchdowns, but we kicked the pylon, and then we fumbled the ball and gave the game away and didn't run the clock out at the end of the game. Mm. They very much feel like they lost that game. Stanford didn't win it. So they are bringing tremendous hype and confidence in. And my last little nugget here, just in talking to Danny O'Neill yesterday, and Danny went off on his show and about the fans down there. He's not even going to the game. So why not? You know, and I don't want to speak for him, but I don't think he just wants to deal with it. Just deal with the kind of, you know, vitriol and what you feel in that stadium. And go look at some of the pictures after that Stanford win. Go look at their fan base hanging over the tunnel there Stanford ran in, and the beer cans thrown and the middle fingers and just the obnoxious, you know, unclassy way that they handled that situation. And I think you understand why there is a little reservation for Husky fans to go down there, especially with what's on the line.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What's that?
Like, I mean, if they've succeeded in making their environment so hostile that other fans don't want to come, is that a good thing or a bad
that's
thing?
That's a fair question. What do you think? Kyle, were you down there 2 years ago, Kyle?
Yeah, I was. And I was told, you know, this is going to be a really tough place to play. Autzen, their fans are really mean and unfriendly, unwelcoming.
Yep.
And I went there and it was perfectly pleasant.
Now, it was the same.
I mean,
it was the same year, right?
It wasn't
same
exactly UW-Oregon. I know that rivalry is a little different than when the Cougs come to Eugene, obviously. Yes. But everyone's, hey, welcome to Eugene. Thanks for coming down.
Well, I will tell you this.
How'd the Cougs do in that game?
They won by double digits.
Yes.
Justin Herbert
didn't play.
Yeah, he was out that year. It was
Braxton Burmeister or something.
Well, I'll tell you this, Kyle. If Oregon happens to beat Washington, and I think it's a coin toss game, I think it's going to be that close. And if they happen to beat them, aren't you traveling there the following week? Don't you play down there?
Oregon will come to Pullman.
Okay. Because I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you just said they might have game day there for it.
I would imagine the environment's a little different versus the last couple years where they were down, where they were knocked out, where the backups are in. That what they've done this year to infuse some of that just kind of confidence and swag back. And this is nasty, Sog. Like, this would be one, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, and I don't think I'm, you know, saying, and this is hyperbole. This would be one that I think you would really like to see. Like, this is everything the West Coast is not.
Right.
This is not Stanford.
Sort of intrigued by
this is not Stanford on Saturday night the other night, and I saw 9,000 people in the stands just asleep. Right. This isn't Cal half filled. This isn't the Rose Bowl half filled. This isn't the Coliseum where when you lose a couple games, you know, it's not an event anymore, and they're all. It's not any of that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is. This would be like. When you hear of some of those environments in college football, this would be the one that you would want to see feel.
Because
it's going to be nasty.
Well, that'll be Saturday afternoon. Should be a lot of fun as the Huskies head down to Eugene. And I mean, the Husky fans, some of them, the ones who can handle it, will head down to Eugene as well. As Washington Wednesday, of course, every Wednesday at 8:30 here on this show, you'll have shots for more Washington Wednesday with each of the shows throughout the day. I just caught this. I thought you would like this just because it's from one of our favorite guys. This was a cornerback who was asked about other cornerbacks chirping in the league like Jalen Ramsey. His response, I feel like a lot of guys that talk, they're mostly zone guys, so they have a lot of energy to do that.
Ooh-wee!
Any guesses on who said that?
Patrick Peterson?
Not Patrick Peterson. He's a favorite guy on our show. He's a guy we love.
Richard Sherman.
Not Richard Sherman. No.
Oh, Redskins guy.
No.
Not Josh Norman.
Not Josh Norman.
Really? Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore.
That would be Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore.
Oh, really?
Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore.
Got him! Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore.
There you go. I just thought that was entertaining.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thanks, Deepon. Appreciate it. Let's see. We have a moment or two here. Now, I guess we don't really have time for it. All right.
Bob Talk Baseball, man.
That's what I was hoping we could do here, but I think maybe we'll have to
get that in next.
We're going to do it in Good News Bad because I got some sound I want to play as part of the baseball. So we'll do that, and then we'll get back to football at 9 o'clock. Stelton and Heaps in for a roundtable. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, it's Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN. See, I hope you guys are having a good morning. Hope it's a good day for you. It's the middle of the week. Has it been a good week?
How many people watch the stream during commercials?
I thought he said, what is going on? Yeah, about 600 to 800 people usually are watching the stream.
Do they stay? Do you think they stay on
during the commercials?
Oh, yeah, it stays on.
People watch the stream?
If you're watching on the stream and you can text right now, 710-710, do you go away for the commercials, or is this like where the secret sauce is? Like, you know something good is happening.
This is why people watch the stream so much.
Brock and I have a lot of really interesting conversations during the breaks. I'm not going to lie, we do. There's a lot.
You piqued my interest.
This is a soundproof room. We're able to really talk about, we're able to get real in here.
Life, love, pursuit of happiness.
All right. Family, kids, wives, everything. Everything. Nothing's off limits in here.
Parenting, marriages.
That's right. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
KJ Wright and Rasheem Green have already been ruled out for Sunday's game versus the Raiders in London.
Yeah, this is bad news, but no news. This is what I totally expected on a very, very long, demanding, arduous trip. And with a bye week that follows, there was no chance unless those guys were 95 to 100%, and they're not. And because of it, they're going to stay home. And I sure hope for KJ's sake, in a contract year, he can get back on the field and produce.
What's he's going? Having a secret holdout, right? KJ? No,
I don't. How do you think so. It's a secret holdout?
I don't think it's so. A secret holdout. I think his knees. I think this is the reason super the guys want their deals.
Been problematic for the last few years with that knee.
I'm with Brock on that one. What's going on with Rasheem Green? It's an ankle. It's been quite, I mean, like, it wasn't even a question that he played. So what's going on?
Oh, I think he's
high ankle sprain?
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate. I think Rasheem showed you all through OTAs, minicamp, training camp, preseason games, playing.
Yeah.
I don't think, and that was not the knock on him at USC. The knock on him at USC was just a flawed and a knee. Yeah, there was just some medical concerns. But no, I think it's a legitimate deal.
And sometimes you sprain your ankle.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I hope he comes back soon because I kind of like him.
Yeah, they kind of need him.
Yeah, they could use a little pass rush.
And what about Malik McDowell coming back?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Red Sox beat the Yankees 3-1 to advance to the ALCS.
Oh, man. I guess it's kind of no news. Like, it was sort of supposed to happen. They won 108 games this year. I mean, like, you kind of expect them to at least get to the ALCS. Was it a great Red Sox-Yankees series? No. Yesterday was really the only good game. I mean, the others were all sort of blowouts in one direction or another.
If that ball was an inch more on the barrel for Sanchez, and that was a grand salami or a game winner,
that would have been crazy.
Then you'd be looking at a game five at the series.
Watching, if they had been at Fenway Park, that ball either gets over the wall or at the very least hits off the wall to score a run or two. I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, it was fun last night to watch. And just the way Yankee Stadium gets insane in the ninth inning and all that, it was good news. But here's the deal. This Angel Hernandez thing is insane. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it much yesterday, but have you followed what's gone on here with Angel Hernandez, Brock?
No.
Do you know who he is? Bad umpire.
Yeah, he's an umpire. He's in that class with Buckner, right?
He's in that list of guys who's just, he's horrible. And so he was on first base, not for game four last night, but for game three. And here's the fifth time they had to challenge one of his calls.
And a run comes in. I think we might be headed for our fifth challenge for Angel Hernandez. Oh, he's clearly safe. Yeah. So that's going to be an RBI for Gregorius. He's not even thinking about leaving first base.
Angel's going to be the umpire in the best shape by the end of this game. Yeah.
Five challenges for the first base umpire. He sees it right now on the big board and knows it. It's got to be the sickest feeling in the world for an umpire.
It'll be a quick one.
Yeah, it didn't take long at all.
Here's the thing. It's not like he's a good ump having a bad night. He's an umpire that whose name you know because he's so bad at his job. And when you see that he's on the crew for Red Sox Yankees, the one series every baseball fan out there is watching, you just have to wonder what in the world baseball is thinking. Now, I know he does have a lawsuit against them for discrimination. It complicates things. But this guy's bad at his job. CC Sabathia, Hernandez went behind the plate last night. Because that's the rotation, you go from first to behind the plate. Mm-hmm. And here's CeCe after the game.
I don't think Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play in these, to umpire in these playoff games.
What did you say to him?
It's just a conversation for us, but he shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff game.
Is that sentiment shared by
everybody? I think people ask him on the other side too. He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these things.
Everybody on both teams, everybody in both coaching staffs, everybody in both leagues, and every fan that watches baseball knows that Angel Hernandez isn't a good umpire. Five challenges in one game and it's a playoff game? That should never happen, baseball. That's bad news. Figure it out.
So is it just tenure? Is it in baseball? I mean, is that just what you get? You just kind of get tenure, and once you're there, you're just kind of locked and loaded?
I honestly don't know the answers to all these questions, but they can't allow that to happen.
Yeah. Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Sockeyes was the winner of the Seattle Times Hockey Team Name Tournament.
Interesting. No news.
I'm kind of with you, man. No news.
No news?
No news.
The people have spoken.
I don't care.
You said you would care about this.
Mike.
They don't have a team yet.
You said
3 weeks.
You would care about
this. Not until December.
You have 3 weeks.
Only until in December when they actually announce the team, then I'll care.
Good news, bad news, no news.
LeBron
I won't really
said yesterday that his kids drink wine.
How old are his kids?
I got very mature 14 and 11-year-olds. Yeah. My 14 and 11-year-olds drink wine.
Really?
Yeah, that's how mature they are.
Wow, white bread.
Whatever dad's mom's having, man. Put it on me, though. Don't put it on mom. Put it on dad. Put it on dad.
He's not being serious, is he?
I think he was joking, but I don't know.
14's what, like a freshman in high school?
11.
11? Well, I don't think he's saying the 11-year-old's drinking wine. Well, I think he was saying the 14-year-old.
Kind of did.
Nah. Nah. 14, not a big deal. I don't think that's a big deal. Personally, no news. You? Brock,
news,
Brock still
LeBron.
Hasn't drank wine, so it's hard for Brock to comment on this.
How dare you?
Yeah. Does Salk think December is 3 weeks away? No, that was Howdy who said that. That's Howdy who can't read a calendar.
No, that was me.
Oh, it's Kyle. Sorry.
It's 7 weeks. Kyle, I thought this was November 10th.
No Niehaus.
Why is it not November?
Why isn't it November?
And why isn't like today Thursday?
Yeah, what's the deal with that? It should be a Thursday in November.
And by the way, in the Witch is Better 7:30, we couldn't sneak this one in there. When the starting pitcher comes out of the bullpen, I love that. And I don't know if it was just because it was Randy Johnson way back when in the day. But when Randy, that was just one of the Mariner moments. It just sticks with you forever. And Chris Sale last night, like coming out of that bullpen, when you just bring your ace out of that pen for that moment in sport, I was trying to think, is there anything else in other sports quite like that? And I couldn't. For which is better, I was trying to think, there's nothing in football.
Do you bring your goalkeeper in to have a kick in the something in
you
soccer?
You pull the goalie out in hockey and soccer to create an extra, but it's not like that. You're just not bringing somebody cold, in such a different role for them, and yet, man, so impactful. That was pretty awesome last
night. They probably should have left him in for the ninth. I mean, the way he was throwing, why'd they even take him out? I mean, like, Kimbrel didn't have anything.
How does that body? I was looking to see if he had, like, a Tommy John, a scar on his elbow. No.
Oh, Sale. His delivery's
like,
insane.
It's so violent.
I know.
And he's so thin.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
so good.
What do you make of the whole Kimbrel arm dangling thing?
My favorite pitcher in the game.
Kimbrel or Sale?
Sale is. Oh,
okay. What do you make of the Kimbrel arm thing?
Yeah,
I just kept watching him as he was getting, the pitch count was getting up, 20, 25 pitches. I'm like, you think his arm gets extra tired from having to hold it there like that before? Like, does that, like, wear on his shoulder?
Is the sweat and mud and pine tar is, like, getting kicked on more and more?
His hand looked disgusting. It was all sweaty and nasty, and you could tell he was feeling the pressure of the crowd, the whole thing. Yeah. Pretty good drama last night.
It was cool.
All right, we are going roundtable. Jake Heaps is in the house and on time. Bob Stelton's on his way. We'll all be together to talk some Seahawks next. I'm Brock and Salk.